Well, good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service on this Wednesday evening of the 30th of March, 2016. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording. It's good to be back in fellowship, and I pray that God has blessed you in the first half of this week, and I pray that His blessings will continue to abide with you to the full in the remaining part of this week. And just a reminder, this coming Sabbath, we're going to be having foot washing and communion services. And so please come prepared to participate in this sacred service. Our opening song is entitled, He Lives. And you can find the hymns on our website at lightministries.com. In the home church section under music and then under hymns, and the actual link is lightministries.com/ID1890.htm. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know a living Savior within will definitely be exemplified without. But without the Savior living within, there's no way that you can exemplify Him in your life. So let us indeed allow the Savior in and allow Him to reign supreme within us. And then we will indeed show to others that our Savior is not dead. He lives. Now it's time for opening prayer, and our dear sister Teresa will offer that for us.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being present and for listening, for caring for us, for loving us. Thank you so much that you chose to have children, your son, and how that relationship is, we don't fully understand, but through him, you've brought us, you've adopted us into the family through Christ and his blood and his precious work on that cross on our behalf, which you and the Holy Spirit were all a part of. And I thank you so much for this home church and the truths we are learning, and for this time of fellowship, this very evening tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Be very near to all of us and all of our hearts. And bless this meeting and let it sow seeds of more truth. And give us more grace that we might, as our brother just said, be able to glorify our Savior. And as the song said, prove that he lives through our lives. And so thank you so much for others that we know and can fellowship with, who love and know you and learn and help one another and love one another fervently. Because it's all of you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And praise the Lord. Our study book is Colossians, and we're in chapter 1, down to verse 25. And we left off last time with Paul expressing gratitude and joy that he has been counted worthy to suffer in order that the body of Christ, his people, Christ's church, can be edified and built up. And we learned that Paul was just following the example of the self-sacrifice that the Father revealed as well as Christ revealed, in order to save people from their sins, in order to minister to their welfare and salvation. And Paul was more than willing to receive the amount of suffering that he was going through. He wanted more. If it meant the upbuilding and the establishment and the edification of Christ's church. Paul realized that all the suffering in the world couldn't come close to what Christ suffered for him. And so he counted it an honor and a privilege to suffer some for Christ, especially when it meant that other people would be benefited by his sacrifice. And we need to come to that same position of being grateful, even in afflictions, because we recognize that the afflictions are actually a blessing in disguise, because it brings us to the point of recognizing that we're utter weakness, and thus we have to go to the all-powerful Savior for the grace and the strength to endure with a smile on our face. If you don't have the Savior helping you, there's no way you're going to be happy in afflictions. You're going to be miserable because you lack the divine power to be happy. You lack the spiritual understanding to comprehend that the affliction, instead of a curse, is actually a blessing, because it brings Christ closer to you and you closer to Christ. And it also allows others to see Christ in you and recognize that they could have the Savior for themselves in any time of need. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. So Paul recognized that he was chosen as a minister for the very purpose of building up God's church, especially among the Gentiles. And that God had given him this special work, this dispensation. And in carrying it forward in the grace and strength of Christ, that Paul was fulfilling the word of God. The gospel was going to those who were not the people of God, those who were strangers. And God was breaking down the wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles and making both groups united into one in Christ Jesus. And that was part of Paul's ministry, is helping that wall to crumble and disappear. And dear ones, we see the same walls being built today. When you share the gospel, have you ever been asked, what church do you belong? What faith do you adhere to? They're just waiting for you to tell them that you're a different denomination than they are, and then shoop, there go the walls. They don't want to hear another word. But if you tell them that you are following the gospel of Christ and you are hid in Him, that your connection with Christ makes you part of His church, and thus there's no denominational barriers, they are so much more open to hear what you have to say, because they recognize you're not trying to steal them from their denomination and put them into another denomination. You're trying to bring them directly to Christ, and it's their connection with Christ that makes them part of His church. It makes the spreading of the gospel so much more easier. The present truth is unpalatable enough. And praise God that we can uplift Christ instead of uplifting the church, and thus point people directly to Jesus Christ. Are there any thoughts or questions, dear ones, before we continue? Oh, praise the Lord. The comment in the room, it says, I explained my life today with God today to two worldly ladies, and they told me that they wanted the life that I had. They asked me to pray for them. Praise God indeed. You look for those kind of people that recognize their need and they want a better life. Praise God indeed. We'll definitely keep them in prayer. So Paul was made a minister for the breaking down of the wall of separation, the wall, the partition wall between Jew and Gentile. And thus those that were not attending any church could connect themselves with Christ and become part of his true church. Verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. What is this mystery? What is this idea that is so distinct from human power, from human understanding, that it's a mystery? Continuing, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what is this mystery that's been hid from ages but now is made manifest because of the coming of Christ? What is this mystery that God is making known? And Paul was given a dispensation, a special calling to preach it. Christ in you. Not Christ in the church. Not Christ among a select few, a chosen people, a particular denomination. Not Christ given to you by the priests, but Christ in you, a personal Savior, not a corporate Savior, not an esoteric teaching where you have to go to some temple, some shrine, some sanctuary before you can connect with Jesus Christ. But Christ available to each one of the listeners if they will accept him. To the Gentiles, that was a mystery. They were taught they had to go to the temple in order to find their God. And they couldn't see him by themselves without the help of the priest or the priestess. And here Paul came saying that the God of all creation has been manifest in the flesh. And he is now making himself available to you if you will just open your heart and receive him. And in receiving him, you have the hope of glory, the hope of eternal life. That was a mystery to the Gentiles. It was a mystery to the Jews. It was blasphemy to their ears because they believed that you had to go directly to the temple in order to meet with God in the most holy place. And you couldn't enter into that room because only the priests could. So God was close, but always a little bit farther away than what you could actually perceive and come into contact with. But now that Christ had come, lived among men, died on the cross, spilt his blood, and then was resurrected and ascended to heaven as the great high priest. Now he was no longer in the temple on the earth. He was now in the heavenly sanctuary and thus could make himself available to any individual, no matter where they were around the world, and could receive his help if they would just accept him as their God and Savior. And he would do more than that. But through the Spirit, he himself, the Creator, would actually come and live in the throne room of your heart, making you his temple. That's a mystery. How is it possible that the Lord God Jesus Christ can be the minister, the high priest in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, and yet rule in your heart? How is that possible? Is there any possible way to explain it in human language to where we can understand how it's possible? No. We can understand the principle of the possibility because through the Holy Spirit, Christ is able to be with us and to rule with in us at all times that we allow him to. We can understand that facet of it, but we can't understand how it's possible. How can Christ, that has taken humanity and is limited by humanity, be in us through the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit? We understand the principle, but how does it work? It's beyond human comprehension. It's a mystery. One that's not dark, like the spiritualistic mysteries of Babylon, but one that we can see the principle of it, but we don't have to understand each and every facet of how it's possible. We just accept it by faith. Amen. Comment in the room, it says, his coming or Christ's coming in life are such a mystery that we can never understand, but we can be part of the mystery by accepting him into our life. Amen. How can the Lord God Michael unite his godhood with fallen human flesh and yet not have his godhood contaminated? How is it possible? How can God become man and live together? In one person. That's a mystery. We can accept the principle, but we don't understand how it's possible. But yet we accept it by faith. It's the same with Christ in you, the hope of glory. We accept it. And God goes beyond that and allows us to experience the change, to actually taste of the unfallen worlds, to feel the power of the Holy Spirit, to experience His quickening power within us, pricking us when we're thinking or about to do something wrong, pointing us the way of righteousness, encouraging us and comforting us when we need help. We can experience it, and thus we know it's true. We accept it, not because we comprehend every facet of it and can explain the whys and the wherefores, but we recognize that Christ is living within us. That we've united with divinity. And as long as we remain connected with Christ, we have the hope of glory, the hope of eternal life. It is possible to keep God's law perfectly because Christ is living within us. And Christ is absolutely perfect. To say that Christ is living within you and yet you give in to sin is an impossibility. Christ never gave in to sin. So if you give in to sin, then that's an indication that Christ is not living within you. And thus you have no hope of glory in that sinful condition. So when people tell you that it's impossible to live without sinning, then you know right then and there that they do not have Christ living within them. If they did, then they would understand it is possible because Christ is sinless. So Paul brought this glorious message to the Gentiles that they right then and there, by accepting Christ, could become part of His church and have the Savior make them His temple. And thus they didn't have to go to a special building that was supposedly dedicated to God. They could worship God in their very homes. Well, if people believe they didn't have to go to the nearest temple or denomination in order to worship God, what would happen to the tithes and the offerings? They would no longer go to the temple or the denomination. They would instead go directly to further this gospel message of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you can see that this message was not very popular with the Jews, nor was it very popular with the Gentiles. No longer did people have to spend their money on idols, because the God of heaven would dwell directly within their hearts. They didn't need an image, an idol, to be close to God. So money was no longer going to support the trade of the silversmiths. Dear ones, it's the very same message today. And we're going to receive the very same opposition that Paul received and the other disciples in preaching Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul continues, verse 28. Whom we preach, Christ in you, whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So, Christ in you leads to what? Perfection in Christ. So the true gospel leads every man and woman to perfection in Christ. That perfection begins at justification, and it's to be maintained by divine grace and strength through every step of sanctification. When you accept Christ, when you confess and forsake your sins, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's justification. All your past sins are now washed away, and you stand perfect. So when someone says you can't be perfect in Christ, you can then take them directly to 1 John 1:7 and say, when I accepted Christ, he justified me. He cleansed me. He washed me clean of all my sins. And thus, without sin, I stand perfect in Christ Jesus. I have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. If you have no unrighteousness, then you are righteous. You are perfect in Christ Jesus. That's justification. Since you've been made perfect in Christ Jesus, what are you going to do now? Are you going to go back and live in your old man or old woman sinful experience? Or are you now going to live the new life in Christ Jesus? That living the new life requires action. Action requires decision, purpose, thought, movement. That's the process of sanctification. So Paul was preaching a gospel that pointed the people directly to Christ as their only hope. And it allowed Christ to come and live within them and make that hope a reality. And in allowing Christ to live in them, then they would be step by step led in a pathway of righteousness, of perfection in keeping God's law. Even Paul had partaken of this gospel. Verse 29, whereunto I, Paul, also labor, striving according to his working, the working of Christ, which worketh in me mightily. So in this striving for perfection, we don't do it on our own. Christ works within us, and we unite with him and remain compliant with him. He leads, we follow. We're to be yoked together with Christ, meaning when he moves forward, we keep pace. His grace and strength is sufficient to allow us to keep pace with him. So here Paul was raised up to receive Christ in him, the hope of glory, and he was continually striving according to Christ working within him. And he says here that Christ wasn't working within him just a little bit, or just now and then. Christ was working within him mightily. His old habits were being broken down and removed from his experience. That's what divine power working within you can accomplish. Dramatic and marvelous changes. What you once liked to do, you no longer choose to do, because it doesn't make Christ happy. It causes him sadness and pain, and you don't want to add to the pain that you've already caused your dear Savior. So you choose not to do it anymore. And then you hold on to the Savior, and as he moves forward away from that habit, you choose to follow him. If you let go of him, then you're striving in your own strength, and you're going to make a miserable failure of it. You have to remain yoked, connected to Christ. And that connection enables you to keep pace with him. That's the gospel, dear ones. That's the hope of glory. Without Christ, you're lost. With Christ, you can do all things. Without Christ, you're going to continue in sin. With Christ, you're going to overcome sin.
Yes, I have a comment, and then I have a question. You mentioned, brother, about, you know, Christ, the yoke, and I love that passage, Matthew 11:28-30, where Christ ends, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when I've read that, I've thought, what is it that yokes me to Christ? And it, you know, that brings me into that relationship with him, and it's faith. So, and there's probably another answer too, but the one that I've come with is that to remember that I'm yoked to him, always believing him, that my believing in him every moment of present tense believing. And sometimes I find I'm not thinking, and I've got to get back to believing, the conscious believing. And then the burden that when I've thought about it, I've thought, well, it's not law keeping. It's not anything like that. It's the only thing I can see is it's just love, that I love him and that he loves me, and a burden of love. You know, if you have a prayer burden for someone, if it's a burden, it's usually because it's a love. It's someone that you're very close to. If it's a burden that keeps coming to you, and you just got to keep praying for that person or whatever.
He gives us those burdens, and so I think a burden is love, but that's been a ministry. I mean, a blessing to my heart every time I think about that, and I love that little passage of scripture. But my question, brother, is, you know, I've been studying a whole lot more on the Holy Spirit, and where it says, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, you know, is that that's the sanctified life, and let me try to get my mind on my question. You know, they said baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. And fire, you know, you think of the trials and the refining and all of that that goes on. So I'm wondering, is that something we enter into when we enter into sanctification, or do we enter into sanctification as soon as we're justified? Or how does that baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you could just explain a little bit about that and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fire. Thank you.
Well, amen, dear sister, to everything that you brought forth. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of our sins and of the pathway to righteousness and of the judgment facing each one of us. So the Spirit brings to our minds the sins that we're guilty, a hopeless despair, but little by little he reveals to us our sins. And then he shows us the way to righteousness, or the other pathway to follow. And then he lets us know that time is short, that we can't be dilly-dallying around, that we can't be dividing our interests between the world and Christ, but we have to be all for Christ. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So then, to be baptized of water is to accept Christ as your Savior and to have all of your sins washed away. To be baptized of the Spirit is to allow the Spirit to work within you the transformation from a past life of sin to now a present life of righteousness. So as you brought out, the baptism by water is the forgiveness of our past sins. That's justification. Baptism of the Spirit is a continuing forward away from sin into righteousness. That's the process of sanctification. And by fire is the purification of the life. And believe me, when the Spirit pricks your conscience that you're doing wrong and you're torn with what to do, every thought of giving in to the temptation, it burns your understanding. It's like to do so, you're going to be burnt. You're kicking against the pricks and it hurts. So that's the best way that I can explain it. It's like the fear of the Lord. When a father tells his children, do not do this. And then they're in a situation in which they're come face to face with whether they want to do it or not. They're fearful that their father is going to find them. And sometimes that fear is enough to prevent them from giving in. But the Spirit works within you to bring you away from the habits of sin to righteousness. And if you don't resist his movings upon your heart, then you will be led directly to righteousness and to perfection. But there's also a cost, dear ones. In receiving baptism by water and baptism by the Holy Spirit, if you then decide that you no longer want to follow Christ, and you kick against the prickings of the Holy Spirit, he will continue to burn within you. And every resistance to him is searing your conscience a little bit more. And what happens when your skin gets seared? It scars. It no longer is sensitive. It now has become dull to pain. It's become hardened. It's no longer soft and supple. It's stiff. And pretty soon, if you continue kicking against the Spirit, your conscience will be seared as if a hot iron came against your flesh. And then it's too late. So count the cost, dear ones. If you've chosen to follow Christ, then do it with all your heart. Because in giving back the gift, you are losing salvation. So indeed, count the cost and determine to follow whichever master you've chosen to follow. And if you've chosen to follow Christ, then praise the Lord. He will indeed lead you into life everlasting. And there's nothing to fear. Nothing can separate you from Christ's love. And as our dear sister was pointing out, love is the motivating factor to want to please your Lord in all areas. Just as you want to please your spouse, and if you know that something hurts them, then you decide not to do it anymore out of love for your spouse, out of concern for their welfare and happiness. It's the same with the Lord in you. That union, that bond between you both is love. And out of love, you no longer want to do things that hurt your Lord. But instead, you want to make him happy. Oh, that's a very interesting point, dear sister. The comment in the room, it says, the doctor sears a ruptured or damaged blood vessel in order to keep it from bleeding out. Interesting. A lot of spiritual insight there. Is there anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones, before we open it up to... Okay, let's go ahead and open it up to prayer session. Any who would like to start, please feel free, and I'll go ahead and close.
Shall we kneel and bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for thy love and the precious gift that you have given us. Help us to take this gift into our lives that we can rightly represent thee as he did. We ask for special wisdom. You know the different people that we have tried to witness to. You can work on their hearts, opening them to more truth, whether it be from us or from somewhere else. Show us how we can in our lives demonstrate thy love and bring others to Thee in that way as well. We ask that Thou wilt be with those of our group who are having physical problems. We ask for Thy healing hand. We also ask that Thou wilt be with those with a heavy heart in trial and affliction, that in turning to Thee they might find not only relief by giving You their burden, but also the solution, so that they can make the right decisions, and by so doing not only witness to their family, but to the rest of the world, and that they will also have peace. Continue to bless us in the study of Thy word, that we can also share that with others. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I want to lift up little Hannah, my husband's niece's daughter, who has a terrible condition, Lord, that we just found out about. An emotional type problem. And she's only 10 or 12, as you know, but I say this for the sake of those listening. I just pray for her. And I just pray for her. I just lift her up. I don't know how else to pray, but that Thou knowest everything, all about it. And I want to lift up Corey again and all of our loved ones that don't know You. If I might lift a special prayer up for all of the burdens in our hearts, for those that are near and dear in our hearts, and for all of those that we've ever witnessed to, that there's a seed planted that someone else will come along and water it, or maybe we watered a seed someone else planted, but for all of those that we have witnessed to.
If we can kneel and bow our heads, dear ones. I pray, dear Lord, that You'll be with each and every one of us here, and let us have a good night's sleep tonight. Please be with all of our friends and loved ones and our church members. And we pray that You will watch over all of us. Please be with all of our kids and let them be in Thee. And I pray that You will watch over them as they go to work and do their jobs that they have to do during the week. And we thank You again for Your love. And dear Lord, I pray that You will be with me and my wonderful husband, and let us grow in You together. And I pray that You will give us many more years together. And I pray that thank You for a wonderful place and a roof over our heads, dear Lord, and so that we can stay dry with all the rain that we've had. And let us be able to walk out and see what You have done for each and every one of us, the trees and the flowers and all the animals. And I pray that You will just be with us, dear Lord, in our personal studies and our times together. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Most kind Father, we thank You for the work that's been done among us. We thank You that You are able to show us Christ. Also to dwell in us, which is a mystery among us. It's by Your grace that we have accepted You and that we are learning of You. Lord, build us, that Christ may be fully in us. Loving Father, we thank you that you are always in us and you provide everything we need. We therefore continue to pray for your work to be in us worldwide, more so in Africa, where many do not know how to read. Lord, come close them that they may understand you. Loving Father, in a special way, I pray and present my father-in-law, Wilson Mawelele, who is sickly and admitted in Jinja Hospital, with his daughter, Maria Wanana, provide a healing that they may know that the doctor, without you, they could not be healed. Lord, I also pray for my wife, Petra. Help them, strengthen them, that they may stand in your stead. Loving Father, comfort them in this prime moment, that when Christ come the second time, they are among those who praise you forever and ever. Loving Father, give every providence that will give respite and comfort unto them. All in all, may the Holy Spirit come and minister unto us, that we may be glory unto the world. Lord, the world may comprehend that you are the God. When we call and pray to you, you listen and answer. Help each one of us who is in this fellowship to understand you more fully, that we may be able to minister to others what you have learned of you. Loving Father, we thank you for being with us all the days of our life, more especially in these very last days of this Assisi soil, that the evil one has increased his working to fail us. Lord, make our way through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being close at hand, that you're aware of all that your people are going through, and that when they bring their cares and perplexities and burdens to thee, that you indeed take them, and that you hear and answer their prayers and petitions according to thy perfect will. Thank you, Savior, for being our burden bearer. And thank you for working and living within us so that we don't have to go to any special place in order to find you. All we have to do is look up and communicate with you through prayer. Thank you so much for making this communication instant, that we don't have to wait. We can come as we are, any time of need. And thank you so much for this open way of communicating back and forth. Father, we pray that you will hear and answer the prayers and petitions that have been offered, and the silent petitions as well. Please indeed take our dear sister Nahate in your capable hands, work in her life, in her recovery. also be with Maria and her father, and please work in their situation as well. Lead them all ever closer to Thee. And thank You so much for doing so. We also pray that You'll be with Darren and help him to rest his case in Your capable hands and to look to You and accept whatever decision that You allow to be in his case and situation. We also pray for the coal porter work in Australia and elsewhere around the world, that You will bless it and that an abundant harvest of precious souls may be garnered out of Babylon through this very important work. We pray that You'll be with Corey and help him to turn to You and to find hope and rest in You. And thank You for being close to him. Pray that You'll be with Sister Walker in her work and let the right physician open up for her. Also be with Brother Walker and help him in his back situation. And thank You so much for blessing them and family. We pray that You'll heal our dear sister Susan's hand and let everything come back to normal. Please also be with our dear sister Jean and continue to heal her in her eye and other afflictions. Please also be with Sister Joan and help her in her eye and affliction that she has. Pray that You'll be with Hannah and please help her young mind and physical and mental situation to become stable and come back to normal, and help her to comprehend a little more about the love of her Savior for her and the help that is found in Him. And dear Father, we thank You so very much for hearing and answering all of these petitions and requests and problems and afflictions that Your children are going through and those who have yet to find You. And I pray that it may be through this means that they come into contact with Thee and indeed find that You are a God of love and compassion and a very present help in time of need. I pray, Father, that You'll help the truth that we have learned to rule within us, that we will allow our Savior to have the throne of our heart and will, that He may indeed live within us. And we pray that the Spirit will come upon us in rich abundance and indeed continue to prick us of our sins and the way to righteousness and of the soonness of the judgment. And please help us not to kick against the pricks, but to recognize His still small voice and indeed be willing to give in and to follow His leading so that we, out of love, may make our Savior happy and not continue to cause Him pain. For we are yoked together with Him, and we want to please Him in all things. Thank You so much for making possible our salvation. Thank You so much for the hope of glory in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Mr. Ida, could you tell us where you're working? I'm praying for you about your job. And that's wonderful that you got a job. Praise the Lord. Where are you working?
I'm working at the same place that I worked at before. I'm working for Sorrento Nurseries. I'm working with little trees for the forest, for the tree planters to plant. So it's the type of work where you just don't have work all the time. It just comes, you know, a month or two here, a month or two there kind of thing. So anyway, that's what I'm doing.
Oh, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. And I always like jobs that deal with nature and natural things. To me, that would be so much more pleasurable than being at a desk inside a cubicle or something. So praise the Lord indeed. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any songs that you'd like to sing? Any requests or any questions, anything else, please feel free. Well, I want to thank one and all for coming and fellowshipping. Thank you so much for your participation and for your prayers, and please continue to keep us in prayer. All our prayers will continue forward for you and yours, and thank you so much for being our brothers and sisters in the faith. And again, just a reminder, this coming Sabbath is foot washing and communion, so please come prepared. And so may God bless, and I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:16-17. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So may God bless, dear ones.